Good morning, this is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton, sitting in for regular host David Inge. Glad you could listen today. During this first hour of the show, we will talk to State Representative Naomi Jacobson. She has joined us to take your questions on state issues. We'll talk about some of the issues that face the state of Illinois, the economy, education, the environment, a variety of things that she is dealing with in the Illinois House of Representatives. She's a representative from the 103rd District to the Illinois House of Representatives, and she's good enough to join us to spend some time talking with people and taking your questions. She will also be speaking at the University YMCA Friday Forum at noon today, so if you are in Champaign-Urbana, if you'd like to attend, that's free and open to the public. That's 1001 South Wright Street in Champaign. And so there's a chance to hear her speak and to talk with her then, but also during this hour. A little bit about more about Naomi Jacobson. She was elected to the 103rd District in the fall of 2002. She was formerly the Champaign County Recorder. For 12 years she did that. She's also formerly the interim director of the Domestic Violence Shelter here in Champaign-Urbana. And also she was executive director of the University YWCA. And so that's a little bit about her background. We'll talk with her and take your calls. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us around the state of Illinois or elsewhere, actually. You can call that anywhere in the U.S., 800-222-9455. Well, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. Thank you very much for inviting me here. It's certainly a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you here.
As you said, I was elected last fall, so I'm in my first term, and I've certainly been very busy. It was an exciting time to be in session, you know, for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then since session is over, I've just been back here in the district making constituent contacts, serving the constituents, being mm-hmm. responsive and being in touch with them as much as I can.
Well, you have been involved in public office and in politics for a long time. But as you say, this is your first term in the state legislature. Were there any surprises? Anything that really kind of, you know, took, you know, you started and, you know, it was surprising?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask me if it was what I expected.
Yeah, okay.
And everything that I expected is there, but a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, sure, there are surprises to pinpoint them. I mean, you know, the pace, that's something that is a real surprise, I think, to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm up for it, mm-hmm. fortunately. And the constant, you know, being concerned about what's coming up every day and keeping track of the schedule and all the bills, it's a good pace to keep.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because I think to a lot of people, and maybe this is just me, I see the pace as being very slow in the legislature, that a lot of things that seem to take a lot of time. We talk endlessly about various things, you know, whether it's Medicaid or the death penalty reform, campaign finance reform, but that's not what it's like inside.
No, that's certainly not at all what it's like inside. You know, I served on 6 committees.
Yeah, right.
And so, of course, all of the committee meetings that I had every week, and then keeping up with those committees and listening to the people who would come to Springfield to talk to me and send emails and telephone calls.
There's a lot.
There's a lot.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we have a caller to talk with, so rather than make them wait, let's include them in our conversation. We'll go first to a listener in Urbana on line number one. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question about an item that I heard of several months ago, that the legislature had approved a $72 or $73 million amount of money to build a science and research building on the campus of the university. It would be west of Bevere Hall and east of the Morrill Plots. Do you know that space?
Are you talking about the PGI Institute?
I don't know what the name of it is.
Post-Genomics Institute?
That's probably it.
Right.
Yeah, whatever that building is there. Well, I was very surprised because supposedly the budget for the university has been cut drastically. I know that the whole department that I worked for when I was in Mumford Hall and agriculture has been eliminated. And I've been told by people that work there that they're eating cake every day, meaning somebody's leaving every day, And I know that there's lots and lots of people that have been fired. And I don't understand how you can approve such a huge amount of money for a building when you're getting rid of all the employees. And I'm pretty sure this is going on all over campus.
Well, I know that that's something that had been planned for over more than the past year. And, yes, the governor came in for the groundbreaking ceremony of that event early in the summer, I believe it was. And I think when we talk about the budget, that's capital funds, and it's a whole different pot of money, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't seem to me it is. It all comes out of, you know, our pockets and goes to Springfield, and then they decide where to spend it. So to me, it all comes out of the same pot.
Well, let's talk about that, because I think that there are actually different pots in the sense that there are the general appropriations. And I, and please correct me on this. I don't know, actually, in this case, if this comes out of the what would essentially be the issuance of bonds, state bonds. Is that where the financing of construction comes from?
Yes, those are bonds. That's bond money. That is different from the general revenue fund.
So those are bonds the state sells to investors to raise money to build things.
That's right. And as I said, this institute I know was planned for over a period of time. And people had worked on it for a very long time, and getting the issuance of those bonds had been in place.
The point of the caller, though, is one that I hear a lot of people raise. Not so much in terms of whether the building itself is financed through general appropriations, but once you build it, you have to put furniture in it. You have to put, you know, equipment and
computers. Well, you have to hire people, too.
You have to hire people also, exactly.
People, and then they're going to have to hire people to be there. How are they going to do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the other part that plays into that is the grant money that the people who are in that building bring in. And when they bring in that grant money, that often supports the research and the work that they're doing, and it supports, you know, their postdocs and the research associates. So that's how a lot of that, the work in those buildings does get funded.
Well, it's very disappointing to me that they could fire so many people and still be building this very expensive building. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. Yeah, you know, there is a lot of feeling, certainly, I think, in higher education. The staff is feeling rather pressured right now, and it is painful to see colleagues get, you know, termination notices and terminal contracts, and it's a very difficult time in higher education.
It certainly is a difficult time. When I was in Springfield, I fought very hard for the University of Illinois. The state faced a fiscal crisis this year like we haven't faced in a number of years. And unfortunately, many of us who are new inherited that situation. Mm-hmm. And I worked very closely with the University of Illinois on a regular basis to make sure that we could bring what resources are available to the university here on this campus and mm-hmm. make sure that we keep it the viable institution that it is. It was a very difficult thing dealing with the budget and the huge cut that we were facing. You know, the state of Illinois is facing a huge cut in funding from the federal government. And so this is being felt in every level of state government, state and local government. And, you know, right now our federal government is spending a lot of money around the world. Mm-hmm. And our schools right here in Champaign-Urbana, elementary, secondary, and the University of Illinois are all suffering. And they're trying to do the best that they can. And we're doing everything that we can on a state level to be creative with funding the worthwhile programs. And, you know, I stood strong in committees when I was in Springfield, when the session was active, when we were in session. I served on the appropriations for elementary and secondary committee. I served on appropriations for higher ed mm-hmm. as well as higher ed. And I believe that I spent a lot of time educating my colleagues on the importance of this flagship university.
I think there's a feeling that higher education is maybe not appreciated in the state legislature. Maybe that just comes naturally from, you know, when you get a budget cut, you don't feel very well appreciated. Do you think that the committee really understands what the cuts have done to the university?
I think some of them do, and I think some of them have a better understanding now, because I did talk a lot in committees about the university and about how when a professor brings in federal grant money, how that has a great impact on the rest of our community, how it helps our economic development, and also helps the students at the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Governor Rob Blagojevich has talked a lot about administrative waste and cutting the fat out of budgets. And I think to a lot of people who essentially, you know, actually spend their own money on their job sometimes. I know a lot of people in the university, teachers spend their own money in the classrooms. I know you know this as well because you've talked to them. You know, they hear this discussion of cutting the fat out and they go, what fat? I mean, you know, what are they talking about? When we talk about administrative waste, where is that waste?
Well, I do believe that the governor felt that there could be fat cut out of the budget, and the university responded the best they could and tried to take the steps that they could. You know, talking about teachers spending money out of their own pockets, I introduced legislation, in fact, that would have given elementary and secondary school teachers a tax credit for money that they spent out of pocket. As you said, teachers at all levels spend a lot of money out of pocket, and I think that we know that our elementary and secondary school teachers, because of the constraints that they're living under all the time, spend a lot of money. And this tax credit would have allowed up to $200. That's not a lot for what some of the teachers spend, but it would have been, you know, a start.
We have a couple other calls to include in our conversation. Let me mention again that we're talking with Naomi Jacobson. She is the representative from the 103rd District to the Illinois House of Representatives, and she's here to talk about issues and take your questions. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. We'll go next to a listener in Champaign County on line number one. Good morning.
Hi, I was going to ask about a health bill that I think has already passed the House. I didn't see your name as a sponsor on it, but it's what evolved out of the Flowers bill. It's co-sponsored by many now, and it's sort of a reform of the health care, health justice bill. I wanted to know for sure that you voted for it and that you're backing it and that something about it, because I guess it's coming up before the Senate, the other body. But on the subject of the buildings and the budget, and I mean, you mentioned federal money coming in and how important that is, but what I think that the whole university system should be preoccupied with is the kind of corporate control, because if corporate money comes in, if the state builds the building and funds it on long-term bonds, and it does eventually come out of the taxpayers' pocket with money for the investors too, that, and then we let the research go to whoever, whatever large corporations can back the postdocs, such as Monsanto, et cetera, that's a real problem. We should have more federal dollars so that there can be a lot of this stuff isn't even subject to the kind of peer review and oversight. So but that's just provoked by the first caller. But I wanted to know about your stance on this health justice bill, et cetera.
Can you give me a little more detail?
I was looking around for the literature. I just picked up on it, but I think it's a way of trying to evolve towards a single payer financed state system for healthcare. And I wish I could give you the number on it, but I don't have that right in front of me. But the health justice bill.
Right.
It's what it's called.
Can I give you my office number?
And
if you find this,
I can't find it right now. Maybe somebody else can call in who knows about it, or maybe it can come up at the talk today.
Sure. And can I give my office district
office
number? And that way, you know, if you do find it,
yeah,
please give us a call.
Well, I'm surprised you don't know what it is. Actually, I'm a little disappointed that because something as far-reaching as this seems to be in the way of reform of the healthcare system.
Well, I have to say I haven't really heard about this either, so, but I'm not a, you know.
Okay, well, I'll lighten up because I just picked up the literature in the last couple of days.
Okay.
Campaign for Better Healthcare is
okay.
One of the major sponsors of it locally, so right. Maybe you actually could have them on. But I know that it's passed the House, and it's going to come up in the first days of November, before the Senate. And I don't know if Blagojevich has commented on whether he wants to step out in front of the pack and actually do something about health care reform as opposed to run on it, posture on it, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
May I give my district office number so that if people do have questions that we're not getting addressed today?
Of course.
The number is 373-5000. And my office is in, for those of you who think of downtown Champaign, you know, from older names, it's the old Robeson building, but it's currently called the Church Street Square.
Right. Okay, good. And we'll give that number out again later. We have another caller waiting on line number 2 in Champaign. Let's talk with them. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, Ms. Jacobson. I'd like to make a comment concerning the university and its relationship with the state. One of the difficulties, as perceived by many faculty at the university, is that there is no one who really speaks for the academic side of the university that can be heard by the state legislature or by the governor. The Board of Trustees certainly doesn't speak for the academic side. They are very unfamiliar with what goes on campus, except for what the president of the university and his staff provide them. The staff, the president of the university and his staff are clearly out of touch with what the academic side of the university is interested in. And there is no one at the Board of Trustees who can really speak to the issues of concern. Now, one of the solutions would be to have a member of the Board of Trustees from each of the campus faculty and have this member have voting rights in a rotating basis among the four campuses. And this parallels the representation that the students currently have, and it is beyond me why students can be represented and speak and have a vote among the four campuses, and faculty do not, and apparently there's no interest in providing faculty with such an outlet. But clearly, at the present time, no one on the Board of Trustees or in the structure of the university speaks for the interests of the faculty or the academic side of the university.
Thank you for that comment. You know, I went to the University of Illinois. I have a master's degree and a bachelor's degree, both from here. I taught at the University of Illinois in the Intensive English Institute. I believe that I do have some understanding of the academics. Also, I have recently, if you might have seen a press release last week, I've recently said that one of the things that I'm doing in the next couple of weeks is meeting with various faculty members at the University of Illinois because I want to hear their concerns. I want to have a conversation with them. As I said earlier, I stood strong in committees and on the floor for the University of Illinois from what I do know. But in any situation, I want to always be in touch with my constituents, and in this case, with all of the people at the University of Illinois. So thank you very much for your comment.
Well, if you do meet with the faculty, you're one of the very few legislators who have any contact with the faculty. And the local papers, for example, the local News Gazette, has had editorials asking who speaks for the university. But they also don't report the concerns because there's no forum in which the faculty can express their concerns. The Faculty Senate is a bit of a joke. They can't even meet their quorum calls, and it's a elected Senate which is basically ineffectual. It's not at all an effective voice, and it's not widely respected either on campus or by the local press outlets. So I really think that there needs to be greater contact between the people who govern the state and the people who do work at the university at all levels.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Well, let me just follow up on the point of the caller. There's currently discussion of making the Board of Trustees, returning it to an elected Board of Trustees, which it was, it used to be until 1994, at which point the state legislature passed a bill making it appointed by the governor. And now we're talking, well, people are upset about, I think mostly there are a couple state legislators that are upset about the benefits going to same-sex households at the University of Illinois. That seems to be what got a couple of people really up in arms about this. But I think there are other people that, for other reasons, think that we ought to return to an elected Board of Trustees. And the caller suggests that maybe we also ought to offer a seat on the board to faculty. What do you think?
I do know that there's talk about returning to an elected Board of Trustees. People have talked about that probably since the appointed trustees took office. Mm-hmm. I think that it's worth looking at various options and ways to make sure that there is a good representation of people on the Board of Trustees. One of the universities recently, a state university, redid the way their trustees are selected. I believe it was Southern Illinois. Mm-hmm. And so that now some of the trustees have to be either graduates of Southern Illinois, mm-hmm. or around Carbondale, or citizens of that area. Mm-hmm. And then another group has to be from Edwardsville, or either graduates or community members, mm-hmm. of Edwardsville. So people around the state are looking at different ways that perhaps boards of trustees selection, and whether it's selection or appointment or election, mm-hmm. are made. But I thank the caller for that suggestion, and I've heard it before of having a faculty member on the Board of Trustees. So thank you for that suggestion.
Okay, we have a couple other callers. We'll go next to a listener in Charleston on line number one. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi. I'm calling about the Health Care Justice Act.
This is the one that was mentioned before?
Yes.
Another caller called off the air and suggested it might be House Bill 552.
So,
no, it's not.
2268.
2268, okay.
And I'm definitely for it, and I'm very concerned that we have a Democratic governor, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic House, and we can't seem to get this thing passed. And I'm thinking, if not now, then when? We need to get a handle on these out-of-control health care costs. And I'm thinking that people are underestimating the number of uninsured. I saw that there was a new study done by the by a MEPS survey of the health care quality and research at the federal level, and they peg the uninsured rate now at 18.5%. And for those people that are underneath 24, 26 years old, they had it like 33%. It was, it's just outrageous. And I wish somebody would do something to get a handle on this thing. I understand that the HB 2268 has passed the House, and is just kind of sitting there dying on Senator Emil Jones's desk. But they did get an extension so that it can be brought back up in the veto session. If Emil Jones will simply bring it to the Senate and let the senators vote for it.
Yes, it did pass the House. And I think now the question is for people who are listening to this, what can they do? They can call their senators and write to them, call them, email them, whatever, access you are comfortable using, and let your senator know that, you would like him or her to work with the Senate president and get the bill called.
Absolutely. And if people would like to find out more about it, there's quite a bit of information at cbhconline.org. The Campaign for Better Healthcare.
Okay.
Is working, trying to get this passed, and we really do need people to call their senators and tell them that this is an issue. I'm a business owner, and I believe that it would absolutely be the single most effective thing that the state could do to promote business, is get a handle on these out-of-control health insurance costs. Okay. It went up 18% for small businesses last year, and they're projecting another double-digit increase for this year. And I just don't know how much longer we can keep up with these. You know, at this rate, something needs to be done.
Right. Well, thank you. You very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for the call. I think the caller makes an interesting point that, you know, we have a democratically controlled legislature and a Democrat in the governor's office. And this seems to be, except for the budget situation, a very propitious time to be dealing with these kinds of issues for the people, the Democrats who have been calling for these things for some time.
Right. Well, and, you know, as I said, it did pass the House, and now we just have to hope that people will encourage their senators to bring it to the floor.
Mm-hmm. You know, when
speaking,
go ahead. I'll follow up on that. But let's
speaking of healthcare,
yeah,
you know, I did co-sponsor the bill that provides seniors with a healthcare purchasing program,
mm-hmm.
and I think this is really an important step in addressing some of our issues for healthcare and for our seniors. This prescription drug purchasing program allows seniors and people with disabilities to buy into this program for a very small annual fee, and it will save the seniors up to 30% on their prescription drug purchases, and at the same time it's going to save the state about $120 million. The governor has already signed this bill,
mm-hmm.
and people can start signing up for it January 1, 2004.
And what do they do to sign up for it?
I will be, from my office, be putting out information, letting people know, you know, exactly how they can do that when the time comes closer and we know whether it's going to be all paperwork or if it can, you know, what the exact process is going to be put in place by then.
Okay. And this is Senate Bill 3. It's actually been signed into law.
It has been signed into law.
Okay. The governor recently raised the idea of buying prescription drugs from Canada. To save a lot of money. And, of course, this is something that requires approval at a federal level from the Federal Food and Drug Administration, which it seems to be against it. Do you have any thoughts about that, whether that's a good solution?
My thoughts on this are to make sure that our seniors can participate in this prescription drug purchasing program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm going to direct my efforts.
Okay. We are past our midpoint here with Naomi Jacobson. She is the representative from the 103rd District to the Illinois House of Representatives. We're taking your questions. We have one caller waiting and time for others. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Another Urbana listener on line number one. Good morning.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm calling with regard to this whole business about partners of gays being able to get health care coverage through the university. I think it's an excellent idea. And I'm really intrigued by the efforts to knock it down. And it seems to me that if you deny people who are gay the right to marry, that you need to find some way to allow them. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, they can't marry, so they shouldn't have health care, but we're not going to let you marry. The argument that I see proposed in the papers is that this is an extra burden on the state. But that, again, doesn't make sense to me. When we had two kids and myself on my husband's insurance at the university, we paid for the extra dependents above two. But we didn't pay any more. Somebody who had six kids would pay the same as somebody who had a spouse and one child, as I recall, in terms of extra money that that person would pay toward their family's health care insurance. The state wasn't paying for all these dependents. But we all end up paying for all those extra people, even though the individual doesn't, because of all of our rates are higher. I'm not proposing that we change that necessarily, but I'm just saying that these legislators clearly have another agenda other than saving the state and people money. And the amount of money for the coverage for partners of gays is really not very – it's a drop in the bucket compared to the whole university's budget. So this is a request to hang in there and support the Board of Trustees' decision to cover partners of gays.
Okay.
Thank you. I believe that every person should have the same right as everyone else. And I don't think that the state or anyone else should discriminate against people because of their sexual orientation. And, you know, I don't believe in government passing judgment on what a legitimate relationship is. You know, if you want to talk about the University of Illinois and saving money for the University of Illinois, let's talk about banning the General Assembly legislative scholarships. I, in fact, introduced legislation to eliminate the legislative scholarships. Do you know that those scholarships last year cost the University of Illinois over $4 million? There's no money that follows those scholarships. So if you're going to talk about saving the University of Illinois money, there's an approach we can take and save a lot of money.
Great point. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call. There has been a suggestion. I think the point the caller makes, you know, is a really interesting one, that we prohibit gay people, same-sex couples, to marry, and yet some people say they should be denied benefits. So you can't have it both ways. What do you think about the idea of Illinois passing a law to say that same-sex couples can be recognized as married?
Well, before I see any law, before I comment on any law, mm-hmm. I like to see it. But I'll go back to what I said. I believe that every person should have the same right as everyone else. And it's not up to me or government, I believe, to pass judgment on what a legitimate relationship is.
Yes, but we do that by sanctioning marriage, don't we? I mean, isn't that an official recognition that this is a legal institution? And that has a bundle of rights that go with that.
We do that. And as I said, let me see the bill that's proposed before I make a commitment to it. But I stand up for individuals' rights and believe that everybody should have the same rights as everyone else.
Okay. We have another caller waiting on a cell phone on line number one next. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes. Just a comment. Representative Jacobson, I think I served in the General Assembly for a long time and watched this process for 30 years. I have a comment. That is simply that Representative Jacobson has done a great job as a freshman. She knows what's going on. She came in well-equipped to handle issues. I cover a couple of her six committees. She does a great job, especially representing workers. I heard those comments. She probably does as good a job as anyone representing workers and voting for health care and helping the U of I in tough times. And with six committees, she is one of two people who has the biggest committee workload in the House of Representatives. So I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds like an endorsement.
Thank you very much. Should I say what those six committees are?
Sure, go ahead.
Since people might be wondering what the others are, I already said the three education committees, appropriations for higher ed, appropriations for elementary and secondary, and then higher ed. I also serve on state government affairs and campaigns and election reform, mm-hmm. and I serve on developmental disabilities and mental health.
Good. Well, if people have questions about any of those areas, you're the person to talk to here. The number again around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Do you want to talk about the environment at all? I know that's something that you have been concerned with. And what can you say about, I mean, there are a lot of things to talk about. The federal government is changing a lot of the rules in terms of environmental enforcement. In fact, getting into conflict with the Illinois EPA, at least Lisa Madigan has, excuse me, not Lisa Madigan, the administrator is, oh my goodness, now I'm really embarrassed. The head of the IEPA has basically come out against some of the changes in the federal government. Does the legislature get involved in these issues? Or what's on your agenda with regard to the environment?
Well, I can
any of the above. Answer
sure, I can tell you some of the bills that I voted for and sponsored in the House that have to do with the environment. And one that I voted to adopt was the Energy Efficient Building Act, and that would have required new buildings to follow an energy efficiency code. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's very important when we look at our environment and the energy that is used in those. I also supported measures that would to enact the Local Legacy Act For people who like to know bill numbers, that was House Bill 231. And this would help counties and municipalities partnership together so that they can inventory their natural resources and their natural areas and then be able to work together to protect those natural areas. That was a bill that I supported. Another one that I backed, which is a Senate bill, and that's Senate Bill 1379, would allow the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency to consider an applicant's previous history of compliance when determining whether or not to issue any kind of a permit that has to do with the environment for construction or installation or operation of facilities and equipment. And, you know, the very first bill that I brought to the floor as a freshman was House Bill 1530, and this bill bans the sale of mercury thermometers. It passed. The governor signed it. According to reports from the Environmental Protection Agency, thermometers contribute 17 tons of mercury to the solid waste stream every year. One thermometer alone contains enough mercury to contaminate all the fish in a 20-acre lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very pleased, of course, to have this be my first bill on the floor and to have the governor sign it, too, once it passed both bodies. Also, I think a bill that's very important for the state of Illinois is House Bill 422, and this is the Wetlands Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
This bill has passed the House, but it has not yet been called in the Senate. So again, you people who are listening and want to make contact with your senators, please ask them to encourage that House Bill 422, the Wetlands Protection Act, come before them. This bill is very important. I'm going to continue to work for the passage of this bill until it does pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of the environment and all these bills that I've supported, I'm one of 15 state legislators who is receiving an award for a 100% voting record. The award is from the Illinois Environmental Council.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, that's a list of things. We have a couple calls to talk with, and I'm going to exonerate myself by I remembered that it is Lisa Madigan who's opposing the U.S. EPA revisions of certain clean water and clean air regulations, but the director of the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency is Renee Cipriano. So there we go. Had to fill in those details. Always bugs me when I don't remember things. We have a couple other callers to talk with. Let's go next to a listener in Belgium on line number one. Good morning.
Yes, I have a question. I'm not exactly sure your guess is the answer to this, but well, I'm going to ask it anyway. It doesn't make sense to me with these drug things that we were talking about just moments ago, going to Canada. The FDA approves a drug that, say, Eli Lilly produces. Eli Lilly sends that drug to Canada, and then we would like to be able to buy it back from Canada cheaper than we can buy it here. And the FDA has to get back involved in again. But FDA has already approved it. Why do they have to reapprove it to come back in when it's exactly the same thing in the same package, everything else? And how can it cost more money to sell it to us here than to ship it to Canada and back and be cheaper? These things just don't make a bit of sense to me.
Well, that may not be something for this hour. We may take that up on another hour. But do you have anything to say about that?
Well, the only thing I was going to say is that really is a federal issue when we get into the FDA and all of that. But those are good comments.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I think that is a topic for another hour, and we'll try to find some good guests to talk about that, because I think obviously a lot of people are very interested, and it's a growing concern, the cost of prescription drugs.
It certainly is.
No question about it. We have another listener on line number two in Champaign next. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Good morning.
Yes.
I'd like to just bring up an issue that's very dear to my heart. Recently, I've had the misfortune of having a brother-in-law die of cancer and have a long, drawn-out, very debilitating and difficult situation, as many of us have had. And I'm concerned about death with dignity type of situation. And like similar laws are in Oregon, where they've worked out situations like that. And I'm wondering if, what your opinions are on some kind of death with dignity laws to be at least talked about and got started, and what you think that, and if you think that's a good process to go through. We tend to treat our animals and death better than we do our human beings. And I'm very concerned about this and hope that we can move something in that direction.
Thank you. I have not seen any legislation that...
Well, I'd just like to know what your opinions are on it and where you, if you think we should move in that direction.
Sure. I'd be very willing to look at legislation. As I said, you know, I can't comment on something that I haven't seen, but I agree that...
Well, then just comment on the philosophy of it.
Well, what I was going to say is my experience with being around loved ones who were in their last years and then days, my mother-in-law lived with us in her last 5 years of her life, and she developed lung cancer, and she went in home hospice care. And so I know the importance of people being able to make their own decisions, and it was very important for her and for us to be able to, you know, be with her and make sure that she had the kind of care that she wanted at the end.
Well, it goes beyond that. I'm not talking about whether or not they get proper care in the sense of keeping them alive. I'm talking about providing them with an opportunity to die at their choice when the hopelessness, a hopeless situation.
Well, the other part of that was that, you know, she did choose not to have additional life support. And when I was with my own mother, that was true also.
Well, in the case of my relative, he couldn't eat anymore. And so when he couldn't eat anymore, he chose not to have anything done for him. But that meant for the next 7 weeks, he starved to death. That was his only option to death.
Mm.
It seems to me that in a day and age that we are able to die with dignity and with something else in mind, that we could make laws along those lines to give us some other options other than starving to death.
Well, I will be very interested in looking at this further.
Well, okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. You know, this is one of those issues that was a topic of public discussion for some time, and I'm sure it still is, but seems to have maybe dropped off the agenda of the news media and perhaps in the state legislatures as well that might have considered things. And I guess this reflects a larger point that I want to see how you'd react to, and that is because of the economy being in such trouble the last couple of years, and perhaps also because of this war on terrorism, which has occupied so much attention, there are a number of issues that just don't get the attention. And I wonder if you think that's true, that the state of Illinois is so preoccupied with dealing with the economy and maybe other top-of-mind things that, you know, issues like this and maybe other issues. Mm-hmm. Campaign finance reform. We don't, you know, there's a case pending in the Supreme Court that everybody's kind of holding their breath over. But there are efforts at the state level. The state of Illinois has had reform efforts underway. And I'm not sure really those issues are getting the same attention they might have.
Well, I do think that our fiscal crisis was something that was on everybody's minds this year. But I can tell you from serving on six committees, we did spend a lot of time on other issues, maybe not these particular ones, but in developmental disabilities and mental illness, we addressed a lot of issues. And in campaign and elections, it was probably looking at ways to ensure that elections were going to be held so that, you know, the counts could be made. It's probably a matter of how people do pick their priorities. But also, if someone comes to me and proposes legislation, I'm listening to that person and I will see what we can do to create a bill and draft a bill and present it. So I think one of the things that I want to say to that is, yes, I have ideas for legislation, mm-hmm. and I'll work those. But one of the reasons I do constituent contact just about every day is to make sure that I'm hearing what people have on their minds. You've noticed, people out there listening can't see, that I'm writing down. I'm taking notes as people call in, because this is how I know what is on people's minds. And I appreciate this time for people, whether I'm, you know, knocking on your door saying you have any questions or if they're calling in on the radio.
And I think this is something we ought to do more often, because I think it's a good chance to have that kind of dialogue. There, we just have about 3 minutes left. Do you think that the media has also maybe, I mean, how do you think the media covers state politics? Do we do a good enough job? And I say we, even though WILL is not a typical media outlet, but do you think the media is doing a good job?
Well, I know that the media has worked very well. We've worked very well with the media. And anybody who wants to, you know, work with the media, of course you have to send releases and let the media know what's going on, as well as the media looking. It's a two-way street. I understand that. I feel like, for the most part, I've gotten, you know, fair coverage. People have said to me, you know, gee, I don't hear you on WILL. And I said, well, you know, they do something different. you know, I listen to WILL. I listen to some of the other stations, too, because I want to hear everything that's going on. But I think that for the most part, the media does try to be around and does try to cover what's going on. Of course, we have our priorities. So sometimes what I think is really important to me might not be quite as important as something that just broke. And so something else might get better coverage.
We have one more call. Let's squeeze them in before we're out of time here. Another listener in Champaign, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling to follow up on the gentleman's comment about death with dignity, and just saying I would encourage your guest to really put some thought into this and really see what her constituency is thinking, because I think there are a lot of us out here who are very concerned that people are permitted to die with dignity and would be interested in more research into what Oregon is doing. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Another comment on the same topic. Well, we're really here out of time. I'm sorry, there's much more we could talk about. So I do think that we should do this more often. I also want to give you a chance to say something about the lecture you're going to be giving at noon at the University of Y.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm going to be at the Friday Forum lecture series that has been taking place for many numbers of years. And I was invited to speak there about the personal conflict that local elected officials face every day when they make decisions for large bodies of people. And so, you know, when deciding what to focus on for that talk, I asked myself two questions. One, what role do my values play in decisions that I make as a state representative? And then the second question is, how do I deal with staying true to my values while standing up for the people of the 103rd District? So that's pretty much what I'm going to be talking about.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. And that's free and open to the public. It's at noon today. Actually starts at 12:15. I know, because I've been to many of them. The Friday Forum is at the University YMCA, 1001 South Wright Street in Champaign. And so if you'd like to attend, you certainly should. Our guest has been Naomi Jacobson. She is the representative of the 103rd District to the Illinois House of Representatives. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.